You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Frames Per Second Podcast.
People who wear masks are driven by trauma. They're obsessed with justice because of some injustice they suffered. Ergo, the mask. It hides the pain.
I wear the mask to protect myself.
Right, from the pain.
What's going on? It's your boy Nikki Duce, a.k.a. Mr. No Disrespect, and you're now tuned into a special edition of Frames Per Second. We are collaborating with my homie Spike Lou from the On Deck TV podcast. How you doing, sir?
What it do, what it do, what it do. Happy to be here.
This is a special edition because we want to do a collaboration because I know y'all been asking about Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it on Reddit. A lot of people who I've been talking to actually have been watching as well. And me and Spike, ever since I was on his podcast for the Snowfall breakdown and stuff, I think part two and three I did for the
Snow School.
For Snow School, yeah. That was, if you haven't seen the third season of Snowfall, please check out their podcast because they do a great breakdown of it, three episodes at a time.
Yep.
And that's kind of the formula we're going to do here. So we're going to break down the first three episodes of the hit. Well, is it a hit already?
Highly anticipated. Let's say
that. Okay, highly anticipated.
Like I said, highly anticipated.
HBO series Watchmen.
Yep. So I appreciate you doing the lead in, Nick. And essentially what we did with the Snow School, just try to do it in packages of threes. And we roll it out the day before the newest episode come. That way people get a recap. And so y'all can understand how y'all will be listening to this hopefully throughout the series. We're going to do three episodes, 3, 6, 9. Yep,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yep.
So three of each. We'll cover the first three in this one, man. Me, myself, I have not seen the comic. I have not read the book or the movie. None of that. I just went into this fresh based off the previews that I've seen at HBO's credibility.
Do you know anything about the movie or the comic beforehand?
No. The only thing that I knew, I listened to this YouTube channel called Emergency Awesome. And he gave a breakdown of what to look for. And the only reason that I went that way is because I seen the HBO preview and they did a little TikTok shit. And I was like, okay, this might be interesting. Just strictly based off HBO's pedigree. So that's how I was roped in. Before we got started, I do want to know, we do have Ken here with us as well. Shout out to you, sir. Mm-hmm. Happy to have you. I would like to know how you two guys got into this or decided that you were going to watch it.
For me, I originally watched the film. I still have not read the comic, but I was aware of the comic. But when it became it was a movie, and I think in 2004.
09. It came out of 09.
It came out of 09.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was, what was that? Yeah. So 09. So this was like the right after Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the start of the superhero genre as we know it till this day. And so when I saw the preview for it, I was like, damn, like, that could be interesting because I do remember me liking the film, and I even rewatched it. It's a great rewatchable, by the way.
Is it?
It's long as shit, but it's a great rewatchable. And it also helps you get into the series as well.
Wait, 3 hours and 35 minutes?
It's a long as it took me 3 days to finish that movie.
I think they did Avengers,
that's
right?
Like Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Like, and that was the second one that was 5 hours long.
But the comic book is, I think, it's just
12 issues.
It's 12 issues. So it's a lot of meat. And, like, obviously, even though it was 3.5 hours, they still had to take some shit out. So, like, it's a in-depth comic.
It's very rich
in-depth
story.
Book series.
Ken, what do you think? How'd you get into it? You sound like you were familiar with the comics.
Oh yeah. I read the comic and watched the movie, and both are dense, and just like this show, it's a lot of information. It's one of those things where you have to watch it multiple times. You have to read the books multiple times to pick up on all of the things that they put in there. But that's how I'm familiar with the HBO series. So coming in just off of that, I was curious to see what they did with it.
Yeah, because they've been bodying, I think, Game of Thrones. They were trying to throw anything that they could out as soon as possible to capitalize off what Game of Thrones did and try to hopefully catch people still in that wave. So getting into it, a couple things that I wanted to do before we do any episodes breakdown. Like we said, we both all figured out how we found out about it. Just based off what you guys seen and what you were reading from the comic books and what you've known about the books, what were you waiting for to be explored most on the series? Was it the Dr. Manhattan? Was it just what they were going to do 30 years prior in the setting? What were you looking for coming into it?
I was looking for how is Regina King going to be in a damn comic book show.
In a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Comic book
so, like, I just wanted to see her. Because I think this director or this creator of the show has worked with her on another series before. I don't know if it was The Leftovers, something like that.
It was The Leftovers.
Yeah. Regina King was on The Leftovers?
I don't,
because this person did do The Leftovers, the person who made the show.
David Lindelof.
No, it was 7 Seconds. I think that's what it was. 7 Seconds.
He did 7 Seconds?
I think he did.
That's the movie. That's the Netflix movie?
The Netflix, the miniseries. Really? The miniseries. I think he did that. Because he worked with her somehow. So I may get it wrong, but y'all can fact check me on that. But he worked with her, and I was wondering, and he said that he loves, like, working with her. He loves the way she can bring his, like, writing into action. So I wanted to see what he was going to do with her in this series. So that was what I was anticipating the most.
Nice. I did not realize this is the same dude that did Lost.
Mm-mm.
I'm terrified now. I don't know how this is going to end. Now I'm terrified. Yeah. Did you watch Lost?
I didn't. I started it, and then I ended it very quickly early on because I knew this shit wasn't for me.
No, I ain't going to lie. It's worth it till you get to, like, the last season. It's a good TV
that's not
show.
That's not a worth it show.
Nah, yeah, Lost is the truth.
Yeah,
is the truth, bro.
To be honest, now I'm that I know that David Lindelof did this, he kind of set the tone for watching TV in this generation. Like, the Reddit, the conspiracies, the making sure that you be having a YouTube Easter eggs everywhere. Like, I feel like David Lindelof is kind of the person who set that up. Did it with The Leftovers as well. I've heard, I haven't watched it, but I did hear that was a great show.
That's just fucking weird.
Fire. It's just weird.
See, I love it, though.
Really? I heard that someone wrote in for You on Deck show and they wanted us to review that next after Snowfall, but I just heard what you heard, that it was completely weird, so I have to get in there and get my mind right for that. So I'm excited to see what he does with this. He's kind of stuck a couple landings and he kind of boffed a couple of them too. Ken, what were you waiting on just based off the comic book and everything else? What did you want to see?
Nothing really. You know, I'm not a guy that anticipates a lot. I really like to kind of go in with a blank slate and see what they give me. Because, you know, I typically walk away with either being mostly disappointed.
Yeah.
So I have opinions on maybe trailers and stuff like that. I think sometimes those are easy. But with this, you just never know with The Watchmen. I didn't even know David Lindelof did it until I started watching it.
You could tell.
And then you could tell, right.
100%.
And then a lot of it started to make sense to me in terms of the visual stylings and ways telling the story. I was just like, okay, when it gets here,
we'll see what's going to happen.
We'll see what's going to happen.
Yep. So first episode was called It's Summer and We're Running Out of Ice. We had an open as to where police officers, as we see them in the mask, he pulls over a guy from what we learned to be the cavalry, and he sees his cavalry mask when he opens up the glove compartment. Now, me, I didn't know what was going on here. Like I said, I'm coming in brand new, so I don't know about the cavalry or anything like that. But I did get the racial connotations just based off the cold opening in the beginning, which I want to ask you guys about as far as the Tulsa Black Wall Street thing. And also, when he was pulling the gun out, I didn't know the world as to where there are no firearms and all of these things as far as the setting. So it did surprise me when he had to do the whole, can you unlock my gun? And I had took a minute for me to figure out what was going on. But like I said, once I processed it and seen, okay, this is the bad guy. All right, he's in a fucked up situation. Oh, he's dead now. So, well, not dead. He got shot with the heavily armed guy. First question, as far as the Black Wall Street thing, did you guys like that as a cold open with no explanation?
I loved it. Mm-hmm. That's even after the opening scene. The opening scene is like a black and white, you know, film.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're right. I forgot all about the dude.
The sheriff. The
protect the boys or whatever it said on the back of that.
Yeah,
protect
I forgot the young boy. The guy, the vigilante who was in the black and white film that was showing. But it was interesting to see.
The sheriff.
The sheriff was in, was in black, I believe. Or basically the black guy was the good guy and the white guy was the bad guy. And the white town embraced the black hero.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is how it was supposed to be. Then you realize that was a movie within a show.
Right. Because they were showing the movie.
Yeah. Showing to this little boy that we don't know what's going to happen to him. We don't know what it's about. And what clearly looked like his parents or his mom playing the instrumentation piano to the film.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's some crazy shit that happens when they get outside the theater.
Yeah, that was going down on the Black Wall Street. And I completely forgot about that. But that was, I think, dope too, just putting us in the world as to how it opens up. A lot of people that are traditionalists of this comics that I've been reading, they're upset about adding this racial element to it.
Yeah, they are. They don't like it. And I think that opening scene does a good job of establishing the fact that this is an alternate universe.
Yes, 100%.
Like, this is exactly an alternate universe. None of this shit is real. Don't get this shit twisted. Mm-hmm. The only time white folks going to celebrate anybody black is when they dribbling the ball and dunking.
That's a fact.
That was funny, too. But the racial element is why, I think, because Mike watches it, and he hasn't caught up yet. Mm-hmm. I think he may be on another review or not, but he's been in and out.
Right.
But his issue was more of like, and I think he's speaking for a lot of other people as well, that why can't black people just be black? Like, why do we always have to have a racial element to all of our stories? Or like, why does that have to be the core essence of drama when it comes to our type of storytelling? And for me, going into it, I did kind of take that way at first. Like, damn, why is it so black? Like, why did it come from this
David
angle?
Is woke.
He is definitely a woke white dude.
But I was saying, like, but to put this in a comic book film or comic book adaptation is interesting, especially if you watch the movie and how that ends, and then you realize what the Rorschach persona, that mask, what that means, and how much misinformation was spread out within the last 30 years.
So what was Rorschach? What is it? I don't know nothing about that.
Well, Watchmen, is that what they were called, the group? I think that's what they were called.
Let me start with this. I guess I got a better question for that. Then I get to that Rorschach. Is the Calvary thing that people are complaining about, this Klan thing, this didn't exist in the other world?
No,
so this
not.
Is completely like
this is
Donald Trump's America. Yeah. This is what this is, really.
Yeah, this is taking place 30 years after
that world, but kind of on the fringes of the other. Like you said, it's 30 years after what went down.
We are the 7th Cavalry. We are no one. We are everyone. We are invisible. And we will never compromise. Do not stand between us and our mission, or there will be more dead cops. There are so many deserving of retribution, and there is so little time. And that time is near. Tick, tock, 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 tick, tock.
And I know in the film that the squid story where Dr. Manhattan was trying to do the thing and not have the earth as populated and do population control
Thanos.
With the squid thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Pull a Thanos.
Yeah.
Yep.
But so there was nothing that had to do with race or we don't like black people. None of that Nixonville type stuff.
It was still heavy with politics, but I think it was more along the lines of war.
Gotcha.
And less to do with race.
Yeah, gotcha. They were fighting
on some 1984 type shit.
Yeah, the Vietnam shit.
The Cold War or whatever. They were dealing with the Japanese.
And they won the Vietnam War.
Yeah. Okay, so and then the Vietnam became a state in this place. Understood. So did you, like you say, now you see it, this is in here, you're saying why does it have to be there? Because Regina King is the lead or just period? Because
no.
I don't think this is aimed at black folks. I think this is just a comic book film. It just so happens, and I think that's why the comic book people are mad that this black folk shit is in here.
No, I don't think,
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I don't think it's aimed at black folks, but I think it's like very much cater to, if this is an alternate reality, what we talk about reparations, you know what I'm saying? They actually kind of fulfill
red
that.
For,
yeah.
What do you call it? Reparations.
Yeah, reparations. That's their Obamacare.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And specifically for those black folks that you see, or the descendants of those black folks you see in the cold opening, which will be explained in episode two as we get to it. But, like, again, based off the ending of the comic or the ending of the film, whichever you want to go off to, I know they have alternate endings, but they both get to the same point. But, like, to see it go from to end there and then start up from here, it's just like, what's going on? That's what I'm thinking the whole time, is like, where the hell is this taking me?
Or a lot happened during those 30 years.
Yeah. Right. You like, know, what happened during those 30 years?
The White Knight happened. Racism happened.
Or still happened. No matter what alternate reality you want to be in, it's still racism.
Yeah, yeah, man, it's a very, very widespread, too, it seems like that. So we deal with that. The guy gets shot. The chief comes in. You know, they try to figure out who
did
it.
Well, go back to your question as far as who is Rorschach. Rorschach is like in this universe, like the Batman, I guess, or like an extreme Batman.
So he's a vigilante.
Yeah, but he's like the detective. Like, he tries to solve off all the hard crimes, the cold cases and shit like that.
Okay.
And that's where the film mostly deals with him trying to solve some type of case.
And yeah, that's the dude out there with all the clones, right?
No. The one with all the clones is Ozymandias. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Ozymandias.
Adrian.
Vite. Yeah.
Yeah.
That crazy motherfucker.
That's the crazy motherfucker. As you can probably see.
We can see now that it's leading up to it, right? Yeah. Okay, so tell me, what were you saying?
I was saying, like, Rorschach was basically, the comic is him trying to solve a case. Mm-hmm. The case of, why did this other superhero die? I'm just doing a summary. Why does other superhero die? He finds out it's a bigger conspiracy. He finds out that Ozzy, you know, is the one behind it. He tries to stop it. He ends up dying in the process. And in that process, he was detailing some shit, but he died before he could finish it up. So people have his journal, and they're taking it, some of his language and his words, because he was kind of like an anarchist in a sense as far as how he moved. So they're just using that to basically as the foundation for their cause. So
and we saw that letter in what, the third or second episode? I think it was the third when the
Germans were writing to the black soldiers.
No, not that one. It was when the detective, Laura, whatever her name is, the Spectre.
Oh, yeah, the third episode.
Yeah, it was the third episode. Remember the guy they were at, he was given a briefing to the police force.
Yes.
And he popped up a letter. He was like, what the hell is this shit?
I think that was Rorschach.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense to me. All right, so there. We get there. He shoots the cop. The cop's in jail. Don Johnson come in. Not sure his name. We call him Chief. Don Johnson comes in, does this thing. Does he kind of strike out as, like, you don't know if he good or bad in the beginning?
Before? He gave me racist vibes.
Didn't he come off kind of like Boss Hogg?
For me, he didn't until he got to the play.
It was that damn hat.
It's the hat. It's the Boss Hogg hat. Yeah, like Dukes of Hazzard. It's what it is. 1,000,000%. So I already was thinking, like, I don't know what's up with this dude.
Roll into Nixonville and round them up and drag their asses into the pod for interrogation. One of them's going to give up the shooter.
Warren's three weapons hot?
We are Article 4. Panda. Buzz out the guns.
We did get Regina King, you know, doing the whole duel thing. Now, it showed her going to pick up the guy from Nixonville. Nixonville seemed to be the slums for the white folks. I guess it's the projects for the white folks in their reality. Yeah. Like, this is supposed to be the ghetto, quote unquote. She go kick dude ass, take him over to the police. He gets interrogated. Now, through that, we see the police have to have masks and kind of get the reasoning behind that. They tell us a little bit about the White Knight. What did you guys take from that, the mask situation?
Is that far-fetched
from the movie and what you guys had seen before? Tell me about that.
It's not too far-fetched because it's a comic book, you know, universe. So, like, I'm going to let a lot of shit go that I normally probably would question in any other type of show. But for this, it was just kind of like the film and the book, I believe they were both on, like, chaos is about to erupt at any time. It was like an unsettling environment and atmosphere. So for them to react that way and to have those policies, like, this is for a reason. Something either went down or is about to go down. And there's a reason why they have this style of policing. So that's what I was kind of like leaning into.
Gotcha. Okay.
I didn't know. I mean, I think they were giving an explanation as to why they're wearing masks. These yellow masks, the signature yellow from the Watchmen. I love the colors in this series, by the way.
It does. I always signify that blue for
And that red, they really stand out when they want them to stand out.
Exactly.
So I think they were just kind of letting us know what happened, because we got to catch up.
Yeah.
We got to catch up to a lot of stuff. And how does he get us to the point? How does he give us a backstory without it feeling like a backstory?
True.
So using the class element, I thought was cool.
I agree with you. And I think that you brought up a great point as far as what you say with the movies and the book. It felt like something was on simmering.
Yeah.
I think that they did a great job of bringing us into this world where we see that that is the same thing. Or something simmering, you don't know what's happening. One of the things that I do feel like they're pointing us in the direction of, when they were in the pod and Looking Glass was interrogating the guy, and he asked him, does he think transdimensional attacks on the U.S. are hoaxes by the government? I thought that was interesting as far as the squid thing, because they alluded to it again when we had a couple episodes when we had the two guys that were selling the newspaper. And they were like, oh, man, these squids, man, that's just bullshit for us not to pay attention to the real thing that's going to happen. Also, Lou Gossett Jr. says this in the second episode. It's like, oh, well, you think this is it? There's way more going on than this. I do think that they're showing us with the racial element that something's brewing, but they want us to look at the race thing. But I think it's something totally different that they're going to hit us with maybe four or five next episode or the fifth episode. I don't think that the cavalry and what they are pointing us towards here in the beginning is going to be the big bad in the series.
Oh, no,
do
no,
y'all
no.
have thoughts on that?
We already know who the big bad is.
It's Austin, the crazy
Ozzy.
Dude.
Yeah, so, Ozzy.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a second.
I think this is more
You think
about,
this is a distraction as well?
No, I think this is more about, this is a somehow, some way link to whatever he's about to do.
I don't think it got nothing to do with it.
I think some of it does, because we still don't know what Ozzy's really trying to do. Like, this whole time as you're observing him, I love how they always say, the last 10 or 15 minutes to show
to
whatever.
To show his crazy
ass,
right.
Yeah, whatever he's doing in the castle. And it's like, okay, he's doing something. He's trying to figure something out. Because in the movie and in the book, he's known as the smartest man in the world. Like, like Ozzy. He's, like, super intelligent.
Gotcha.
Like, and throughout these years, as we're, you know, trying to catch up with this world, I'm wondering, like, he's doing some other crazy shit that, because, you know, in the shit that happened in the movie, at least from what I saw, that shit was insane. But it took a long time for it to build. And I feel like that's the same thing that he's doing now in this series, clearly.
Yeah. Clearly, yeah. And then by the end of the third episode, we seen that something was going to go into action. They are alluding to as well that Warshaw, the guy that we were alluding to, in his journal, he did write about the squid attacks in the comic books and in the movies. And he did say the squid attacks were orchestrated by Dr. Manhattan for population control. So they're alluding to also that people from the cavalry may have gotten these and know what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the other things that come to with the conspiracy theories. The main protagonist, the opposite of Warshaw, is Regina King. And we know that she's living a fake life as far as how she explained it to the students. She's a baker and she gave the whole breakdown of the eggs. I think that was pretty dope about the protein and the breaking of the walls. How she made all of that put together, and then they had the little watchman face there.
Yeah,
that was
really
cool. The
red
imagery in here is fucking dope, and it had the blood in it, like the red on the. That's killer. Now, when she went to the bakery after she got the call or whatnot and did the whole thing, Lou Gossett was sitting out there. Did y'all take anything from that, who he was supposed to be?
Well, I just
know I went backwards, but I just wanted to make sure that we hit that.
I always know that TV shows don't leave anything open.
Right.
Like, you know, there's a reason. Nobody just has a random conversation just to have it outside of Quentin Tarantino shit. Like, It's going to tie in somehow, some way. And there, obviously, the conversation, it felt like he was more familiar with her than she was with him. So that was kind of like, what is the relationship? Is there even a relationship?
Facts. I agree with that. Ken, what you think?
Yeah, no, I knew he was coming back. I mean, it's Lou. First of all, it's Lou Casa Jr., so he's just not there for no reason.
Right, he ain't going to throw him in there for one.
So, yeah, it was like, nah, he gonna be back. He gonna be back. And that way, it wasn't surprising that he was back at the end. You know?
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we have her and Don Johnson, and they go through their whole thing as far as what they had dinner, and they do their whole bonding thing, oh, we're cool, and this is Chief. And we learn about, like I say, a little bit more of the White Knight. Now, the big bad in the episode is Don Johnson getting killed, right? Spoiler. Mm-hmm. So we weren't really shown what's going to happen. I found it odd that he had all of this security to his house, and then he got all of these armed men here, and then as soon as you get on the road, you dolo? Like, ain't no car trailing you or in front of you, and I know it's movies and TV, so we have to suspend belief a little bit, but I did find it weird for them to go through all of that to show he's protected and he got all of these guards and you got to do all of it to get to his house, but then as soon as he gets out in the streets, it's like, are you by yourself now? Mm-hmm. Y'all like that? No likes? Nah. Nick looking at me like,
nigga. He was just high.
Right. Yeah. Nah, it was just, I don't know what it was. Like, I felt like when you try to kill off a character that you kind of established as a lead role, that's my one, like, hesitant. He's like, all right, this riding better be good, or, like, whatever you got up next has to be good. So that's why I was more curious. Like, this is a big, you know, kind of, like, gamble they're taking as far as, like, because, you know, he's no, Don Johnson, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know who this is. You know his acting capabilities. So, like, why would he just be in a pilot episode? You know what I mean? So, like, I knew there had to be more to
because
they
wanted to get the film, the series.
They know they needed that name on there. They needed that name. Oh, you got Lucy Johnson Jr.? Let's go. Run it.
I was disappointed they killed him, though. I was like, because
he had charisma, too. Like, he was like a
I thought that he was going to carry it a little bit farther. Yeah. Yeah, he was a lightning rod.
Even if he is a bad guy, he's a likable bad guy. Like,
we didn't even know he was a bad guy at the time.
Not when he died. Yeah. We still thought that he was chief. Goes to the second episode, because at the first one, I guess we left wondering, the cliffhanger for the first episode, would you guys agree who killed the chief?
Yeah, because you don't believe Lou Gossett when he
said it. I did it. Like, no, bro, I did.
You knew something else. Is it based on the comics, or is it just based off what you've seen?
You just see a black man that killed a white man. That's all he saw.
Black dude, he did it. I mean, but he's in a weird, don't matter, he did it.
It's the Watchmen. I just found it somewhat believable. And even if he didn't physically do it himself, but even still, I kind of believe that he could physically do it. I thought maybe he had some powers and shit.
Yeah, because the way the first, the intro ends is like, you see this black kid who escapes all this terror, and then all of a sudden you see him, like, take care of this little baby, which is, looks like a little girl or something like that, and he walks away like he's the most confident man in the world. I'm like, damn, nigga, like, there's something off about this kid, so whatever happened, and then they fast forward to, you know, today.
He did have, like, Superman vibes or something.
Or he had, like, something like he was more grown than, like, even though he looked like he was three.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying.
So it's like, when you see that it's him, is like, all grown up in a wheelchair, it's just like, all right, he either had something or, like, like, he plays a big role in this. Like, you don't know if he has powers or he has information or he just know how to do shit. Like, you just know that this guy is special.
Okay. That's true. I agree with you on that. Did I miss? Is this one the shootout episode, right, with the cows?
No, that was
the second one, right? Am I wrong or right? Second.
Episode. No, that was the first episode.
Okay, so that was another crazy-ass scene that I wanted to make sure I hit on. Just so
I remember that shit.
So much went on that I've almost skipped right over that. Yeah, they were dogging them cows, man. They had some heavy duty artillery.
They almost, like,
they were splitting the cows in half.
The cow damn near was just nothing.
Where was Peter when you needed him?
What gun control? If that's what dude was shooting in Vegas, I see why they want them off the streets. God. But that was a pretty, I think that was one of the dopest scenes of that first episode. So like we said, the cliffhanger was Don Johnson hanging from a tree. Just before we go to the second episode, that was a brief recap. Winners of the episode?
Anybody
stand out? Who you best performance? Captivating story, whatever you would consider a win of this episode would be.
You said, what's his name? Looking Man?
I'm intrigued. My man with the glass.
I'm intrigued by him.
Looking
the mirror. Yeah,
Looking Glass. I'm intrigued by him because I feel like he's trying to fill that Rorschach role as far as, because Rorschach always had the mask. He always kept it on his face.
Uh-huh. I got that vibe from him, but he feels like he's a low-key racist, too.
He definitely
just because his accent.
That is a racist accent.
They are an Oklahoma kid. Come on.
I was wondering about him. I'm like, man, what's his deal?
But he kind of reminds me because.
Looking at your ass.
Right.
Because he only was eating with the mask on still. And that's something that Rorschach did in the film. Like, or I don't know if he did in the comic either. But it's like he was doing like mannerisms of Rorschach. So you kind of feel like he's going to lead into that type of role and narrative.
People would literally have to tell him to take the mask off, like several times when he was talking to people.
Even when he was at his crib, he had a mask on. Like when he was eating his little TV dinner and shit.
He loved that shit.
Looking white.
Did you have a winner, Ken?
Give me Don Johnson, man, just because they took him out. Because
they took him out early.
Yeah.
I had him as actually my loser. My winner is going to be Lou Gossett. Like,
he had like two lines.
Ultimate intrigue, though. I was like, okay, this nigga, like, out of nowhere, he sees her going in the bakery. Oh, when is the bakery opening? You know, I could lift 800 pounds or whatever it was, he said, which gives us a hint that he's going to string Don Johnson up later. So I thought that that was really cool. I liked the lines. They were clever. You think he was very captivating. I thought it was two small scenes.
I thought it was more of like this old ass crazy leg motherfucker.
I did till I watched it the second time and I heard him say the whole I can live whatever. She like, nigga, I don't give a fuck. What you telling me for? But that happened to see with him stringing up there. And then she put two and two together why he said that. So I thought that was pretty cool with the second.
My thing is, how did he kill him? Like, all you see is a light flash and all of a sudden this nigga hung.
Yeah, we ain't gonna get the answers.
Apparently he got friends in high places. He said, we come to find out. Loser of the episode for me was Don Johnson. Who did you have?
Loser.
First episode.
Loser to me was the black her husband, Sister Knight's husband, because he was getting his ass beat, he was not the protector or even helped out at all.
That's got to be a rough situation.
Yeah, like because I'm and there's nothing wrong with Sister Knight doing her thing, but at the same time it's like you're supposed to. If she's doing her thing, you got to do your thing too. Match up with that. Equally yoked. Ain't that what we talked about?
We did talk about that. That kind of reminded me of the movie the second with Lupita. What am I thinking about? Yeah, that kind of reminded me of Us when she was kicking ass and my man was like, oh, I got this bat. And they took his bat. But yeah, that kind of reminded me of that. So I definitely see what you're saying on that. Loser?
What was the guy with the red suit on?
Red?
Oh, yeah.
I think his name is Red.
Give me Looking Glass. Give me Don Johnson again. Because neither one of them motherfuckers was willing to go in there and whoop his ass to get the damn information they need.
But Black Knight definitely did her thing.
Tore his ass up.
I agree with you on that. My surprise of the episode, like I said, I didn't think that Don Johnson was going to be took out that early. I thought that he was going to be around for a while. Captivating guy. A lot of charisma on scene. I thought that he was going to carry it a long way. But obviously, I was wrong there. So that was my definite surprise.
My surprise was when the white supremacist was blasting Future before he killed the black dude.
Yeah, he was on one too, word for word. I was like, is this the right show?
That nigga was hitting that motherfucker. That kind of goes back to that whole like white people still love our culture no matter what.
You know, Nine Inch Nails did the score for this, the whole thing.
Really?
I
like the score so far.
It's been pretty good.
Surprise. I don't know if I had one.
That knot on Lou Gossett's head. I was surprised that they let that stay there. I thought they would at least like green screen that out or something. I was like, what is that?
They really got him looking like Crazy Legs from Don't Be a Menace.
Like, bro.
I guess my surprise would be them damn cows.
Yeah.
Getting fucked up.
That was a great intro.
That was a dope ass scene.
As far as them connecting it to the universe, are they doing a well enough job, or do they kind of lean into it a little bit? And then we'll get into it later on as far as series, but like
Easter eggs, I think that's what they're doing. They're just dropping things, here and there, just kind of let.
But as
you
far
know.
As the connectivity, do you believe this could be a story within that universe?
30 years later, I do. And it took me a while to kind of catch up that to the fact that it was 30 years later. Like halfway through, I'm like, okay, this is nothing like anything else that they've already done. So I thought that that was cool because I think to be successful, you gotta break away from it in a way that's true to it, but original, because you don't want people doing the comparisons and that they're gonna ultimately do anyway.
Yeah, you didn't, because like going into it, like watching the trailer and having that only to go off of. At first, when you hear a show called Watchmen got greenlit, like, oh, they're just going to turn the comic into a long series. And maybe that'll be interesting. I'll check it out to see. Otherwise, I don't want it to be like Lion King and just be the same shit, just in a different way.
Yeah. Right.
But then when you saw the trailer and you saw, like, oh, I don't know any of these characters. Where the hell is Regina King doing in all this? It's like, okay, now they're doing, I already got the vibe they was going to do something different. But it took me till this third episode for me to connect it. Because at the rest of the time, I'm just thinking, like, is this a story that I really give a fuck about? Because I'm intrigued, but at the same time, my time is running out.
That's David Lindelof for you.
That's what I was scared of. And that's why I stopped watching Leftovers. I watched like two episodes of Leftovers. I was like, bro, I have no idea what's going on. I'm out. I ain't giving you no more time.
And that's what I was scared for this series, because it's like how deep it is. Like, unless you really care about the comic or watch the movie and you really want to follow up with that storyline, like, going in green, like, I don't know how the fuck I would keep up with this show.
I think The Leftovers helped prepare me for this once I found out he was in it. Because I couldn't stop watching The Leftovers. because I needed to know what the fuck was going on. Yeah, exactly.
So, I almost want to ask you what happened just so I can be like, I've heard that it was great as far as the ending and like how it all wrapped up, but I don't know if I got.
It's only what, like 3-4 seasons?
I think it's
two to three seasons.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay, yeah. I can watch it.
All right. So we get to episode 2, which is called weird name here. It's like some of
them. I don't know why. I like their weird titles for their show.
You do like the weird titles?
Because it's just like most shows that stand out to me that are really good have fucked up ass names.
Really?
Like,
well, Game of Thrones did until they was holding it that last season. This one was called Martial Feats of the Comanche Horsemanship. Now, a little more on black history fact. Not black, but Indian, I guess. Comanche horsemanship, what that is a style of fighting. So when they were fighting their enemies, the Comanches would lean to one side and then go over the horse to the other side.
Yeah,
to
block
it. Yeah, we saw that on the picture.
Exactly.
The
so the picture was there.
And that's what it was referring
and
to.
And that's the
and
thing.
That's where they got it from.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Lindelof in this series is that there's a lot of historically factual information in here. Mm-hmm. You have to watch it multiple times to pick it, or you have to be curious enough to go Google it to see.
And look up this stuff.
Yeah, because exactly. Like most white people, I don't think, understand Black Wall Street. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I was shocked as I was listening to commentary about this show from critics, different people that had podcasts, and they were saying, man, I never knew this Black Wall Street story. I'd never known this happened in
Oklahoma. That's why I was like, damn, this show started off.
Are you serious?
No, because like, I would expect any black person, or at least any educated black person, to understand like
you don't have to be educated.
Yeah, you should.
I'm just saying at least.
No, well, no. But the way we talk about that shit, like we love Black Wall Street.
Yeah, like
because I mean, some people might think it's that failed label that Game
tried. Was Game. They thought it was Jason Williams.
Nah, that was one of the things you always hear about that growing up. It was just kind of. And it was just to build you up as a black young kid growing up. It was like, man, we had something called Black Wall Street, and that shows that we can make it. And Black Wall Street was our first Wakanda. And they came and wiped that shit out.
Just because it was made.
But that's the thing that I like about what he's doing, the racial element of it, because I don't, like, you know, we were talking about earlier, I don't think it's for us because we already know about it, but it's for everybody else that don't know about it. And David encountered people that didn't have that historical knowledge of Black Wall Street, and then they go get educated and become embarrassed and ashamed of what happened.
Right, exactly. And then they figuring out from there, like, oh. But episode 2, I like the open just as well as the Black Wall Street for this one. Did y'all like the letter from the German soldiers to the black soldiers?
I thought that was a real letter.
That was fucking fascinating
to me. That was very interesting. And again, it going on the black trope as far as, like, if some shit was, like, if I was to read it during, I was thinking to myself, if I was a soldier during this time and I read that shit, I would be like, I would be like Muhammad Ali, motherfucker. Like, you like Viet Cong ain't doing shit to me. Like, these motherfuckers I ain't never encountered no German say this. Well, eventually they would have. But I'm just saying, like, to turn it back on your own country in a way that was just more like, it was,
well,
like,
a country that didn't give a fuck about you.
But that's what I'm saying. But like, but you're fighting for your family in that country.
Nah.
But to think of yourself as separate from that because they're treating you the same way that the people that are they're fighting feel they're being treated is like, damn, that's so deep. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's cunning. That's like,
I understand that, and I get their position. It is war, all this fan love and war. So
exactly.
I'm not saying that I 1,000,000% I'm like, damn, they should have just rolled them. Like, yeah, we over here with Germany.
No, I'm not saying beat German, but I'm saying it brings up that argument. I wouldn't be surprised if someone had that argument moving forward.
I feel like that. You said this is a real letter, right?
Yeah, that's a real letter.
I feel like a lot of this happened and it was factual and it was starting to be persuasive. And it's so against the norm to say anything positive about Hitler that they try to kind of hide that this probably happened.
It's not saying anything positive. It's just speaking on like how great of a communicator, how great of a... Because for what he did, it takes a certain level of I'm not trying to compliment the motherfucker, but
But
it's just like, it's like for him to be able to communicate that message and people to believe in it, it's like that was a tactic.
How hard is it to not believe in it though?
But that's what I'm saying. He knew how to get you. That's just like how he knew how to get his own people.
But
like,
I don't think it's a getting thing. Yeah. I think that's what we've been manipulated to believe, that since it was him. Oh, he trying to get over on y'all.
Yep.
When essentially it's, nah, I got this one group of people that I'm targeting. I ain't talking to the rest of y'all, but y'all have letting everybody persuade y'all into thinking that I'm such this bad guy.
Yeah, it was like, why are y'all fighting for them?
Yeah, like, what, this ain't got nothing to do with y'all. Actually, y'all come over here and fuck with us, and it's better on this side.
Well, I mean, we all know that was bullshit, too.
Do we?
Well, we don't know that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, the way that germ... A nigga like that don't stop with just one country, one people. Like, a nigga like that, power hungry and thirsty, he gonna try to take over everything.
I don't
think it wasn't safe. About taking over and power hungry.
No, it wasn't for that specific time, because it's all about the battles that lead up to winning the war. Like,
right.
He can't fight two armies. Like, he mm-hmm. can't have the blacks and the, you know, the whites from the American
side. But I don't
think
he was manipulating the black people to thin out the American army. You know,
he was telling them what he truly believed.
Yeah.
Like, he,
you think so?
The reason that, you know, the reason that he was trying to take the Jews out, like, it wasn't a, it wasn't on a, I just don't like them thing. It was a biblical
thing.
Yeah,
it was, yeah, I know, yeah, he, because of his situation, he needed somebody to blame, and he found it through that, because he was unsuccessful because of his insecurities. He found that avenue. And from there, he was able to communicate that same type of passion. It may not be the same for you, but let me touch on something that you are insecure about, or that you are unaware of, that you hold to that can sway you, pretty much, like some type of theme that you can be manipulated under. And that's why I said his communication is like, That's an in-depth communicator, because I know exactly what...
That's a man that believes what he believes to the Jews.
I get what you're saying, but I think that it's kind of tainted by you want him to be a bad person. And I'm not saying that he's not. I just think that you're saying this from a thing. You think that he was strictly trying to manipulate people.
Yeah, because that's all he ever did.
I don't
know if that's true. Nah. That's what I'm saying. I just don't know if that's true. Just based off... what we're dealing with and how history is being passed down from our people. We don't get
what
the
do you
real
mean
history.
By what are y'all definition of manipulation? Because that could be good. That
what
could,
you said, like, because I can communicate well what I believe, you now believe, not because you believe, but only because it sounds good coming out of my mouth.
It's no, because I can work on what sounds good to you. Like, it's kind of like, and he's gonna flip it. Like, this is in for your best. What do they call that shit? Like,
manipulation?
Nah, it's like some type of psychology, reverse psychology, or some shit like that. Uh-huh. Like, remember when Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny and the
when he would do it and he would say it and he'd get him to say it.
Exactly,
I see
because
what
like
you're
I'm using the way I'm using something that I know you like to do, and I'm turning it to be against you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'm going to speak on racism in a way that affects only you and will persuade you not to do this shit, because I'm really trying to take them out, and then I'll take you out later on. Because he's a conqueror.
Because I don't think we would have been, black people would have been the target.
Yeah, because why were we, I don't feel like we would have been a threat enough for him to manipulate to come to our side.
Because like he said, his whole thing with the Jews was biblical. Yeah. That was an internal belief. That was faith.
But that's
right.
Like,
it was
but
like
that's
the
same,
Palestine.
But that's the same thing that the slave masters used for to justify
that
slavery.
Was manipulation,
but that's the same thing,
bro. That wasn't faith driven. That was driven by capitalism,
right.
And money.
They wanted to be rich. Hitler really believed that your people are evil. Like this is. I don't think that slave.
It sounds the same to me. That's all I'll say.
I'm not doing a great job of
no,
making
but I'm
the
saying,
difference.
I hear what y'all trying to say as far as the difference, but it just all sounds the same. Like, it's all a form of manipulation, whether it's something that you truly believe in or something that you're using to get some capital gain. It's all the same thing.
What I'll say to that, and then we can move on, because I don't want people to think that we some Nazi propagandists over here, but I just don't think that we know the whole story of what Hitler was.
In this universe?
America... And the world in general does a great job of rewriting history
exactly.
to fit whatever narrative they want to spin.
The people who win the wars get to make the history.
Yep.
We won that war.
And the thing that was intriguing about that, and you think about that period of time, you think about African-Americans, communist and socialist movement that was real back in the day. You think about when black people were trying to get the fuck up out of the USA to go to fucking Russia. Like, all of this shit is real.
Mm-hmm.
So for Hitler to make a play on black folks who have been tortured and lynched and burned makes sense, because he sees that we are not appreciated and loved and adored here. So it was like, why don't you just come over somewhere
else? And it's funny, as the nigga read the letter, he gets spit on by the dude on the horse.
Yeah, like he walked by and spit on him.
I was like, this is the...
You know, there's... And we can move on. But there's, you know, racism and stuff that the world is just like that in general.
Right.
Right. But they're way more tolerant from what I've heard of black people overseas
around the world. And,
here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, 100%. But yeah, that look that shit up, man. That shit is fascinating. They were sending that shit when I think they were in France or some shit like that.
That
motherfucking letter.
That sounds good, but I feel like black people are the most hated beings on this earth. Like, I feel like anywhere you go, they got some bad story about black folks, even in Africa. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody like niggas, period.
Well, I think this has to do with what we're talking about, who wins the wars. That's the manipulation of media that they're able to do. Like, we think that because we're inside, and if you start to travel the world and see that it's not actually that way.
And for the record, Hitler was a very fucked up person.
Very bad person. We're not co-signing Hitler. Just think that there were...
I was more talking about in the context of this universe, because we don't know exactly... Like, this is an alternate universe. We don't know what type of...
That was based on for real.
Yeah. This is based on...
The cold openings, all of the cold openings have been based on real stuff.
Yeah, but they also play into this universe. So it's like, you take... I think it's like, this is where... Because, like, even in the movie, like, you get to a certain... or, like, in the first episode, they were counting down presidents. And they ended up being right up until a certain point. And then it trails off into their own universe.
Because Robert Reff had been the president for like 30 years.
Yeah, so it's just like, what universe is this Hitler really? That's what I thought you were talking about, as far as we don't know what his real mess. I thought you guys were talking about this universe, not actual Hitler.
I was talking about for real.
No. Real Hitler is like, we already know, you ain't got to talk about that nigga. I'm just saying, like, in this universe, what is this Hitler's main thing? And I was still thinking, like, well, if they're going to use that same reality of what was going on during that war, he's still a motherfucking... piece of shit manipulated.
If you read comments, it felt like the cold open is the beginning of a what if.
Yep.
And that's what they would do. They would take a story and rewrite it, and give like a different ending to it, or what if this happens. So yeah,
that makes sense. Now, that was a great conversation. That was probably the most intriguing part about the whole thing so far to me, is that letter. I loved it. Alright, so we join episode 2. Will is in here with Angela, who is deeply shaken by the murder of, I'm going to keep calling him Don Johnson, but his name is Judd. Will isn't giving her any answers, asked why didn't she believe that he did it, as if he had some type of superpower. Y'all alluding to this, like, is he just being witty? Do y'all think that they're trying to point us in some direction?
An old black man.
Yeah.
That's all I got from that scene.
That's what it was, too. And it was also more of like, I know I got something that I'm not going to tell you about yet. I just want to have this interaction.
Well, you said it. I'm here to tell you who you are, or show you who
you like, are. You asking the wrong questions type shit.
Yeah, like you talking about, you worried about the wrong thing. Like, what, you know, your mama always hits you.
the guy you caping for got skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, that's what you really need to talk about.
And I killed him, so you need to go find out why I killed him.
Exactly. You know how a black man be like, nigga, you worried about the wrong shit.
You worried about the wrong goddamn thing. Always worried about.
Yeah, exactly. He was hilarious.
Very funny. She took him literally. She said skeletons in his closet. She went to his house. Now, did y'all peep the governor was there? The governor was at his house, kind of alluding to
the senator.
King? Is that his name?
I think so. The literal country guy, he got the chick in episode 3 to come check out the investigation.
He's the grandson or the nephew of the person who passed the act. It's called, what is it called? DOPA? Which is like the police reform.
Oh, okay.
Or the Vigilante Act.
But nah, I didn't peep that.
Yeah, he's like the descendant of whoever wrote that original act.
All right. So she goes to his house. He's there. She finds a way to get into the bedroom, puts on these real cool goggles.
That's from the comic, The Night Owl.
Yeah.
Funny that you have that stuff that's got some technology to it, but then they don't got like gas and like all the cars are electric.
I was gonna say this, their cars sound weird when you turn them on.
They have pagers, they don't have cell phones.
Yeah, they ain't no cell phones. Yeah. It's like some stuff is very advanced, and then some stuff you like, is this the 60s?
Well,
like,
Night Owl always had, he was also kind of like a Batman-ish figure.
But even the little flying car in the first one when they was out there at the
that's his thing too. But I'm saying, like, in that world, there's advanced technology, just like we was talking about on.
But it's just not the technology that
we have.
Exactly.
Right,
like, it's out there, but like only if you either a superhero or you work for the government,
you can get it. So she go in there. She's in his closet. She sees the Klan magazine. The Klan mask and the whole getup with her X-ray vision. Shocker to y'all. Big reveal. What y'all think?
I was disappointed to see the Klan.
Yeah, I was too, because I wanted to be a villain in a different way.
And this is an extension of the 7th Cavalry, right?
It is, but that's like real in your face. Mm. I like the idea of the Rorschach mask being their version of the Hoods.
Yeah.
So for them to be like, just like, yes, these are the motherfucking Klan. I was like, ah.
Do y'all think they did that so we would know? Like, so we would have a clear understanding that this is a bad guy?
Yeah, because it fits into the whole, like, how long have you, like, you're questioning, like, everything now. Like, who is this guy? Why do I even trust him? As far as from Sister Knight's perspective, it's like,
Was he leading her on?
Yeah, is he responsible for all this shit now? Like, it could have been just a Rorschach mask, to be honest. Like,
that would have been enough.
That would have been enough, exactly. Right. He didn't have to have the whole damn war.
She was damn too calm about that. I wasn't like, man, what the fuck is this shit?
Right, yeah. She was way calm. Yeah.
She got into the room like, because she pretended to
No, how the hell she get that shit out?
She left it in there, didn't she?
No.
She took that shit.
Because remember in the third episode,
it wasn't there. I thought somebody else came back and got that, though, trying to clean up behind himself. She took that.
She grabbed his sap.
I missed that. Okay. All right. So after that, we figure out, you know, that big conspiracy. And then they go over to Nixonville and they start rounding up the Trump-like inhibitants of that whole little spot over there. They're trying to figure out who did it, who killed them. Angela lost her temper, beat the shit out of a couple people over there. Looking Glass kind of suspects her.
He suspects everybody.
You think so? Yeah. Was it like,
because he's also a little bit emotional because everybody was still tied up as far as that was their, you know, their leader.
Saying, why am I crying under this mask?
Yeah, like I don't know if he was or not, but that was a great line though. But it was just like he's kind of like. This is kind of remind because like even when they killed.
Why do you think he was suspected if she whooping the hell out of that dude?
Because it reminds me of, remember in Watchmen, or even in when he got hanged, the blood dripped on that sheriff, like how the same way the comedian blood dripped on that same thing. And Rorschach was like, that death was the reason why he started questioning shit. The same way that Looking Glass is questioning shit because of that type of death. It's like, it goes into...
Why would he suspect her in that moment when she's having an emotional reaction to people that they think had something to do with the Chief's death?
I don't think he expected
hidden
her original
racism.
I don't think he expected her originally. I just think the way she was talking, the way she was acting, it was like he's a detective at the end of the day. He asked questions.
You think
for
he was
living.
Just being him?
Yeah, like he's being him. He's a weird dude anyway. Of course he's gonna ask some weird ass questions at a weird ass time.
I just don't think her beating the shit out of the dude would be a trigger for him to be like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna have to keep my eye on you.
Yeah.
Seemed like the appropriate reaction that a person that loved someone dearly would have
at that reason. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, he seemed to be acting a little weird. That was the first thing that I got from it. Like, why is he?
Matter of fact, go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, why is he just questioning her that way? What were you about to say?
Yeah, matter of fact, if anything, if she didn't do that, I could see him looking at her and be like, all right, why you ain't doing that? Yeah, so maybe that was validation for him that, oh, you know what? Maybe she is, you know, torn over and it didn't have anything to do with it.
True. Now we go to the weird guy's house again, and they're doing some play.
I have a surprise for you. I've started writing a play. It's a tragedy in 5 acts. When it's finished, I want the two of you to play the leading roles.
And what shall you call it, Master?
Watchmaker's son.
We did get the reveal here that these people are clones.
Yeah.
Mindless clones.
And this is obviously a spoiler episode. So
he
like
the shit out of that.
You find out this is Ozzy. So it makes sense to why.
You didn't find out this episode though. Like
no,
the end.
But everybody has suspicion as far
everybody
as
everybody like, knew that it was him. They just didn't let
They hadn't said it yet.
Right.
Yeah, because like the way he talks reveal. And then he was in the book and the film a little bit, he's also very obsessive over Dr. Manhattan. Obsessive over him and somebody, and like I think there's another Roman or king or something like that. And so now it kind of goes into that obsession. Like he created clones and also he's doing this weird ass play that details the origin story of Dr. Manhattan.
True. So, yeah. Okay. Anything?
That shit was just weird as hell. I don't know what the hell going on. It's just some weird white people shit.
That's exactly what is they doing? Like straight.
My
weird
thing was,
white
what's up
shit.
With the birthday cake?
Like we don't know.
Like, this nigga, want to celebrate his birthday every day?
Well, like, I think that I know it sounds good in theory. Like, it's like a groundhog thing type thing. He's going through the same shit every day. He's doing the same thing. I think that that's what they were trying to show there. You know what I'm saying? So, why? I don't know. And the cake looked disgusting.
If I had power to clone, I know if that was a cake or that was an egg.
Yeah, it's like hard on the outside.
Teddy Perkins episode from Atlanta, that egg ass shit. That's what I thought the same thing. I was like, what the fuck do these niggas be eating?
I thought you was talking about him. That reminds me of the Teddy Perkins. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, dude, this reminds me of Atlanta when he was doing the whole Teddy Perkins thing, 1,000,000%. But also, so he burns the dude. We see that those people are mindless because one volunteers to be burnt next without any regard for his life. Angela, though, we go back to her. She has the teacup that Will was sipping on there. She's going to the I'm calling it the food stamp office in their world. She go down to the food stamp office to try to get her EBT background and see how that works. And she does the whole reading or whatnot. And I don't know if it was right then or whatever, but we will spoil it. She comes to find out that Will is her grandfather.
Yep.
So, and also that he's the same person, that little boy that was holding it, that we find that out too. What y'all think from that?
I thought that was a good tie-in because it was kind of, I don't know if you guys kind of assumed that that would be it, but it was just more of like a great confirmation. Like, okay, this is why they showed you that shit in the beginning to get to now.
Yeah. I was like, I ain't did some shit.
Right.
You know, if I was her, and she didn't even believe him.
Yeah, she didn't think so at all.
She was like, man, I'm taking your ass to jail.
But you remember when she picked him up in the wheelchair and hugged his ass? That was the funniest shit ever. Because
he went limp. That motherfucker went limp.
He was like, yeah, I'm strong, but I'm trying to see you strong. I'm tired, bitch.
And I can tell you firsthand.
Show me what you can do.
My damn kids, when you pick them up, they just go limp. Them motherfuckers get heavy. His ass was heavy. She wasn't hugging him. Right. She was trying to hold up.
Exactly.
That shit was funny because he was like, I got friends in high places. And she was like, man, whatever, nigga.
That nigga got picked up twice.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here talking that crazy. Yeah, shit.
Exactly. She was like, get your crazy ass on. So one thing that I didn't touch on that we missed, and then we'll go about his friends and high places, I wanted to get to the raining squid. Y'all get anything from that? That's from the movie.
It wasn't in the movie. It was in the comic. That's how they dropped the big squid on the city. So that's just going back.
Here's the theory, though, is that the government is now doing it to keep people scared because they don't want another squid attack to happen and kill 3 million people. Right,
I feel that.
So they're saying now that the government is doing and dropping the squid to keep people in line, quote unquote. That's the theory behind it. Shout out to Reddit. So that was the whole thing about it. And that's what the dude with the newspaper, with my man that played.
He played in every HBO show.
My man that played Bunny Colvin in The Wire. He's the one that was talking about that. But
he was also what's his name? Denzel's son in Ballers. That's his daddy. I stopped watching
Ballers. I had to get out of there.
Shit wet.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's a great half hour of bullshit. That's all I'm saying.
Will did tell us he has friends in high places. As he says this, my man gets picked up the ultimate Uber with the magnet coming down and swooping him out of the sky. Now, any theories on the who that was and what that was?
I have no idea. That was the one thing that got me.
I don't know what was going on there.
Because Dr. Manhattan, he left the planet.
He left a long time ago, too.
Yeah, he was like, man, I'm out of here.
And the way he was talking before he left, he sounded like he wasn't coming back.
Right. And I think that they wanted us to think it's Dr. Manhattan. Mm. They're doing a whole lot of pump faking with the Dr. Manhattan.
Because everybody looking up in the fucking sky.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he could be anywhere. He could be anybody. He tried to throw that shit in there like just so we think that he would be multiple places. And
that was the first time that they really go back to like, all right, this is how it connects. These motherfuckers are aware of these motherfuckers.
Right.
And it's going to eventually pop up sooner than later.
Exactly. All right. So that was that. Now, as far as the episode accolades, what do y'all got for winner of the episode?
Was that the end?
I want to hit on the episode?
When he got carried away, I would say Lou. Lou was the
winner of the episode.
Even though there was a fire scene with, we got a preview of the White Knight. Of what happened, and it was on Christmas Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And the midnight going into Christmas Day, and that's when all the cops got killed.
Most of them got killed Christmas Eve. Yeah, going into my winner of that episode, I would say, is Regina King because the ass kicking on that. But her husband took another L. It's like, come on, bro. The first one was cool.
Where did he go? Like,
we don't know.
The nigga came in with the gun, and
I think he saved her.
She pushed
allegedly.
No, she pushed him, and then all of a sudden,
no. Remember, the guy walked up on her with the gun, and she passed out. I think he came in and saved it.
I thought it was
still my loser.
I thought it was more of a Judd.
I thought it was Judd that came in and helped her from some kind of way. She got some help there.
Or I thought it was more of a scare.
Unless it was Judd.
Right. And that, being that he was with the, he was there.
Probably had the hood on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't think Judd is that strong.
No, remember, he put the gun in her face, and she just passed out.
Yeah, but I think
Judd probably came in and be like,
don't kill her. Y'all like her.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I thought it was an order from him, like, kill everybody else but her.
Because I think that he liked her. So, yeah.
For some reason, because that was before he even met her.
Surprise of the episode, definitely for me, is the spaceship Uber coming to scoop him up. That was fire to me, and I can't wait to see that payoff. Episode 3. What's the name of episode 3? Let me get into it.
The best episode in my
opinion. Junkie something.
Yeah.
You think 3 was the best one?
Yeah, I think 3 was the best one. Just
why is that?
From the fact that it was the character connection that we were expecting. Or the unexpected character connection. The one that I liked the most because, her name is Silk?
She was killed by Space Junk.
Spectre? Sorry. Or what's her name?
Silver Spectre or something like that.
That's the lady, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The second one because her mama was
She used to be a vigilante.
Gotcha. So, which is her reason that she's so hard on him now.
And I love the way they shot her to give you more and more like instances that this is her. Like, remember when she was sitting on the couch talking to the senator, and then like there was the four pictures of the Watchmen, and she fit right into that other fourth box, and it was like, okay, this is her as an older version. But I thought it was the best episode because we got to get away from Regina King and just look at her
finally. I just think that it needed to change a person.
Yeah, like, and it was like,
not that I didn't like it.
To see her and to see how she moves and like how she still connects to this world after all like 30 years have passed, it was interesting to see.
One of the biggest takeaways for me with this, even going into it green, not knowing everything, I still enjoyed her as a character. Like, I feel like she was very witty. She's very smart at what she did, and she held the whole fucking episode from beginning to end, from telling the joke, just all the little
to the dildo.
I have no idea how she fit that in. The dildo that she carried around.
Yeah, she went next door.
Yeah, she went next door, but she was ready to get it started on the first one of the Pulp Fiction briefcase. Like, Jesus, but
is that how Dr. Manhattan was packing for real? Like, she used to that. If she used to that, she went to the white boy. They ain't gonna do it.
I was just gonna say, she was thoroughly disappointed when she went to go sleep with dude. She had to be, unless she just told him to use the dildo on her, dude. This is a whole nother podcast.
She came over for assistance. That's what it was.
He probably just helped her out. She just hold this and just try it.
And put this mask on while you're at it.
But she got hers off on that. I loved her this episode. I think the whole joke thing was fire. Just the whole how she wrapped that up. Y'all like that?
I liked it. It just reminds me of the movie again so much because of like how Rorschach was narrating, how she was narrating. And then, like, these horrible jokes that aren't really funny at all. They're just black as fuck. Like, yeah. the only person who get this type of humor is a sick motherfucker like me. So, like,
process, it was, like, commentary on the show, right? So, she told a joke, and it was the three guys. One of them was
Night Owl.
Dr. Manhattan. One of them was Night Owl, and the other one was, what's the guy's name? I don't know the other guy's name, but how it was supposed to go was that they was those four, and then, you know, God snapped and sent them all to those places. But when The Rock came back and hit him in the head, that was supposed to be her, supposed to be showing how clever that she was. Because he was like, I don't know you. Who are you? I usually don't do this. And she was like, well, I'm the one that threw The Rock. And then, boom, The Rock hit him in the head. God dies.
Yeah, he
so she's
hell.
Supposed to be smart enough to kill God is what the whole thing that she was putting out there.
I
liked it. I
liked
that
it
was
too.
Fire.
And I thought the reference of like even God goes to hell, it was just more like that's how depressing this whole That's how depressing this whole universe is. Like they all end on some dark shit that nobody like. Even thinking about the movies, like nobody really had a great ending. Like that ending was damn near horrible. Like if you were looking at it, it's like if you were living in that world. So like for her to say that just keeps on going on to the theme of the universe. Like this is some dark shit.
Right. Do y'all think that the senator is corrupt? And we probably don't have to do a scene by scene since this one is more late. I know the senator came and asked her to go investigate the murder of Judd. Do y'all think that he has something to do with the overall conspiracy too?
Maybe because of that whole how he got stuck up at the funeral.
That was fine.
Yeah. Was fine. But I think she made a mistake. And it felt like Lori, whatever her name is, killed him on purpose to see if she would do a heroic act. And she did. But then I think about what she asked. How do you know the difference? How can you tell the difference between a cop and a vigilante? Is that you can't. So, you know, was that her being a hero, or was that her just doing her cop shit, even though she's no longer a cop?
Or she was saying both.
Because they both wear masks, right? Or something like that.
Now they do. So, like, that's what I think.
So I don't know if he's corrupt. I haven't been able to figure that one out yet.
Yeah, I think they may end up on the same side. Well, because they're trying to create some controversy to make us think that then those two will end up fighting the big bad that we have not seen yet.
But she was also, the reason why she went out there is because, the reason why he asked her is because you could tell that he's on his way to become a president. He wants to be the next president. And that's why she mentioned that to him in their conversation. Like, you want me to clean this shit up just because it'll make you look better. Like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense. And episode 3 also shows us my man riding a horse. And he goes to...
Ozzy.
Whole weird. Every time we go, there's just weird shit going on.
The tomato tree?
Yeah, the tomatoes growing on trees that he just takes a bite out of like it's an apple. Then he went to go kill a pig or something. What was he going to kill?
It was a buffalo.
Buffalo, buffalo. Because he was doing the skin was too thin for whatever he was using it for.
He's obviously using a catapult. He's trying to catapult something to somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And he's obviously using these clones as real life dummies.
which is hilarious.
And it's also how he creates these dummies, because remember, one of them said, like, I don't doubt you, sir. And he's like, of course you don't, because you're programmed not to.
So how do y'all think he's creating these people?
He's smart. So he got a test lab. I think in the comic it references him cloning some type of animal. So I think this is 30 years later, so he perfected
it. Growing them on trees.
Yeah.
It seems like. Do we think that he is somewhere else? Do y'all think that he's, like, on another planet, something Dr. Manhattan has created?
Because he's on the same Earth.
He is? He got into a beef with the groundskeeper dude. And
I feel like he's in another part of Oklahoma.
He's in jail. He's definitely being held captive. They let us know that.
Forbes had an article, and I'll read this, and I'll see what you guys think about it. Just a quote from it. It said, it's becoming clear that Veet is not on Earth. It was shown previously that Dr. Manhattan had constructed a castle on Mars that appeared identical to Veet's headquarters. Veet might just be trapped on the Red Planet in some kind of illusion that Manhattan has constructed to contain him, which also explains the existence of clones. And Manhattan did express an interest in creating human life at the very end of the comic book. Any credence to that?
I think that's a reach.
You think that's a reach?
I think it's a reach. But I always think these fanboy theories. And
it's on Forbes. It's probably some writer who's seen 6 episodes and trying to act like they don't know, and they do know.
I think that's believable.
I do too. Yeah. I think that they know this and that they're trying to act like, I'm guessing this, but they've seen the episodes actually.
Well, because like that letter because after he killed the buffalo, he got his feet shot at because somebody was like, "Nigga, you crossing the line."
Right, you playing.
And he was like, the letter was sent like, "We ain't gonna warn you again. Don't do this shit."
Right.
And he sent a letter back saying, "Nigga, I'm just doing some
recreation." Fuck you. Yeah. That's what that letter said.
Y'all got me fucked up.
Yes.
But that's what he was basically saying. I got me fucked up.
But it was also.
Hope you like the tomato. Right. We're glad you like it.
But it was also submissive in a way, too, because he was like, nigga, it ain't that. I'm just doing some recreational shit. So it's like, he's in some type of jail or there's something that doesn't allow him to be his full self.
Right.
So I don't know if that's a prison or that's some type of weird agreement or if he is on another planet. That would be like.
I don't know his relationship with Dr. Manhattan or why he would have him locked up. So I feel like that is definitely possible, and he may be on another planet. And it may have something to do with the shit that's falling out of the sky. Like he say he got friends in high places. If he's on another planet and he's doing all this weird shit with the plays and burning people and eating tomatoes off trees, then maybe he's able to send the sky Uber for Lou Gossett and to pick him up when he needs him. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. I think that was a dope little tidbit there, just not knowing where he was. Episode 3 was, I feel like, too, one of the better episodes. Though it didn't give the cold open like the Tulsa and the letter to the Germans, I still appreciated it as much. What did you guys take away from the 3rd episode? Overall, so far, where are we at this point in the series?
I like so far, they're, at least in my opinion, they're taking this each episode as perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first episode, I believe it was Don Johnson was the main person that you saw his perspective from. And then the second episode, obviously, is Sister Knight. And then this episode was Spectre. So it's like you kind of are going through a journey of their perspective and how they move. And either how their decisions affect the whole series. Now, moving forward, I think I was watching Collider, and one of the episodes or one of the clips I was watching, they were talking about Watchmen, mm-hmm. and one of them seen all six episodes. Mm-hmm. Well, the first six.
Sure.
And they were saying five and six are fire as far as, like, five, the first, I think they said the first 10-15 minutes is going to be good, and then the sixth episode is a slow build to something great. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting this fourth episode, I don't know, to be either another perspective,
like a placeholder,
one, or not a filler, but like something that will lead us into something great.
One of them turn the corner episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put the first three behind us and let's focus on something new.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's clearly all about Regina.
Yes.
And her past and how she got to where she is today, being, Hawaiian, I think, born over in Hawaii, some shit like that. But still black, which is interesting. What I'm trying to figure out is how in the hell she got them damn white kids.
Man.
No, they explained it.
What did they say?
It was from the White Knight. Remember they explained.
That was her homeboys, her partner's kids?
Her partner's kids. And she was in bed. Yeah, that's what she was like when Judd was talking about. Yeah, they.
Well, why the damn man was on the porch? Who's
that? That's their grandfather, I believe. And that's why he was like, these are my, I got a connection to him. Like, these are my.
He came trying to see him. And yeah,
he came to get money.
That too.
He came to get money.
He don't give a damn about the kids. But I'm just saying, that was his connection to the kids.
In an alternate universe, we still taking care of some goddamn white folks.
We don't know if they white. They look egg white.
Them white.
They could be white. They could be Albanian or something.
See how he snapped in that classroom? That's a white boy. That's a white kid.
He was fighting for his black mama.
Definitely a little white kid, nigga. Like, he's saying, like, you don't sit your little ass down. Nigga.
Oh, shit. Lollipops and rainbows.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all right. But, yeah, nah. So I think they did a good job. I did think Regina was funny when they had their little, have you guys seen Heat?
Yeah.
The movie? When it was
Al Pacino.
Yeah, Robert De Niro. That was their cafe scene when they were in there with the hoe, and she was like, yeah, I know you got the goddamn mask. She was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then when she was telling the whole little story, she was this pause, and she was like, ooh. Like, if that is some black shit.
That was 1,000,000% black. I almost wonder, was that ad-lib? I almost think she ad-libbed that, ooh.
She probably did, yeah, man.
But it was funny because it was like, that's the obvious white trope that they'll use.
Yeah.
They'll like, I can do this to you. Or like, I'm the, like, nigga, I don't know you, so your threats don't mean shit to me.
Cause
you
poured all that damn coffee out.
Like, I don't give a fuck about none of this shit. Like, I'll beat your ass right now if you want to come for me. Like,
that was a fire ass scene.
I thought that was dope.
I'm anxious to see where they go with it from here, too. I'm hooked. Like I said, I came in green not knowing a lot about it.
I want you to watch the movie, though.
I ain't spending 3 hours and 45 minutes on that movie. I tell you that now, bro.
Treat it like a miniseries.
You're going to spend 3 hours on this shit?
I am. You're right. Maybe I can catch
break it
this
up,
weekend.
Break it up an hour at a time.
Watch one part Saturday, one part Sunday. I'll do that before we record the next one of these, and just so I can have some more back. Because I have been doing more research, listening to more things about it. There are a couple podcasts out there in addition to us that did reviews. But listen to us, and then y'all figure that us shit out. But we appreciate you guys joining us for the Watchmen podcast. We're going to do, like I said, three of these and give them to you, three at a time?
Yeah.
Drop them on the Sunday before the new episode airs. That way you guys get a full review, and we're doing it our way, doing it our style. We hope you guys appreciate it.
Hold on. Before we leave.
I'll let you close it up.
I was going to say, any predictions, even though I know you guys don't know what's going on, like, are you expecting any, because I think I've been watching the next episode previews.
And I always cut them short. I never watch those.
I watch it just. I don't do it for Power, but I do it for this show because it goes anywhere.
Nigga still watching Power.
But it alludes to that.
They go at that narcotic, man.
That Ozzy was using that catapult shit for a reason, and like there's something going on.
You think he's trying to shoot himself off the planet?
Maybe that is the case. Because I was wondering, I was like, is he trying to get to Dr. Manhattan or is he trying to get away from him?
Yeah.
That's why he's trying to use, like, I need more skin, because it's like, if I'm going to do it. But my thing is, you old as hell. Like, you probably not even going to survive the fall. So, but I'm just saying, like, I'm expecting to see more of, like, we're going to get a full reveal or somewhat this episode.
If I had to make any predictions on a small level, just based off what I know, Regina King and the chick that we had the last episode three, mm-hmm. Dr. Manhattan's girlfriend, probably team up to do some stuff reluctantly. I just seemed like she was so on the vigilante side as far as Regina King, and then the white chick was so anti-vigilante that they're going to have to put their differences aside, as we see in TV shows, and like I said, come together to fight the big bad. So that's my biggest prediction, I would say.
I don't know. I really don't do predictions. I know we do it a lot on our shows, so I just typically listen. So I have no idea. I know we're going to get a full story, a beginning and an end. And I know that one of the things I liked about this one is that it was, I guess it kind of brought everything together.
Yeah.
For me to, but I still don't know where it's going to go. David Lindelof is weird. Yes. He does some weird ass shit. His style, like, and everything he does is weird.
But he's good when he's good, right? That's what it sounds like. Like when he's good at what he's doing, he's really good at it.
Or he'll leave you hanging. Yeah. And that's the thing about him. Like you know,
when Lost was great, it was fucking great.
Yeah, and
arguably one of the best TV shows ever. Mm-hmm. When he left you hanging, he left you fucking hanging.
And he never gives you an answer.
Nah, it's
but
like,
I think,
fuck it.
Yeah, but I think with this, you're going to get a firm conclusion. And they got to do it quick. We got 6 episodes left, so they got to accelerate this whole story.
Right. I heard it was supposed to be 10, but he didn't want to have a filler episode because one of the episodes could have been filler, and he took it out.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so like, I heard that too.
But even
and
that's
a nigga like that, you can't give him carte blanche. Like, you got to say this is it. Because he'll go there.
Yeah.
And he'll take
and leave
you
wondering, like, what?
And that's the feeling I got, you know, at one point watching this. I'm like, oh, man, he got this completely new reality and world to play with.
Yep.
And he's going to go him up. But he's not. I think he's going to be contained.
Yep. And that's why Lost was so good, that open canvas that he had. Like, you had never seen anything like
that. Yeah, because he literally had an island to
do whatever you want. All you want him to be dead or they're alive. Oh,
yeah.
What?
I think he was making this shit up as he went along.
He was. They said that he was. It was made up to season 3. And then, you know, when they brought Ben and the others in, all of that shit was ad hoc.
You talking about when they kidnapped the little black boy?
That was season 1.
That was season 1?
Yeah, that was early.
Yeah, I tuned out
after,
early.
Yeah, after that,
that's a good show,
nigga,
man.
Well, we can talk about Lost when we get off here. But thank y'all. Appreciate it. I am Spike Lou.
This is your boy, Nicky Duce.
Kenneth B. Inch.
Y'all check us all out on our respective platforms. We appreciate you listening. There's more dope content coming. We appreciate it.
All right, we out. Peace. Yeah.